right. There is our music, and we finally get to get going with the Aging Well Together show. Welcome. I am so excited for today's show. I know I say that a lot, but I really am. Our guest does not even realize how excited I am for the show. Here, I want to make sure everything is going well and we can hear. Okay. Today's show is all about philanthropy and charitable giving, and this is a topic I actually think about quite a lot. I've been thinking actually a lot the last few weeks, how to make my own donations, my family's donations, the most meaningful and impactful. And so I'm thrilled to have a new friend here. We've been best friends for exactly 5 minutes now, I think. So I'm very excited that we're going to work together. We have Baron Damon here. He is the managing partner of the Business of Life Coaching and Consulting. Baron is a seasoned entrepreneur and philanthropist, among a number of other areas of expertise we may get into. And he works with individuals and groups on their charitable giving plans. And I am so excited for all we will learn together. But as always, before we dive into our show, I want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the tremendously helpful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. Please join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. You can catch us live every Thursday from 2 to 3 or stream us live through WCOMFM.org. Or you can listen to any of our previous shows, aka our podcast. This is our 53rd show, and our podcasts, our recordings are available through the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. Again, orangecountync.gov/aging. And on the website, when you go there, you can find links to our Aging Well Together radio show, as well as a host of other helpful resources about services in Orange County, North Carolina, I like to add, since there's a number of Orange counties, and we've got a nice listenership from around the country and around the globe. We've had some international folks chime in. So anyway, if you want any information about any of the resources we discuss on the shows or any resources about aging issues in Orange County, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can either call the Department on Aging, and this is where you get your paper and pen if you didn't already do that for our website. And the number for the Orange County Department on Aging is 919-968-2070. And you also can feel free to email me directly at agingwelltogethershow. That's all one word. agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. As always, a shout out to the wonderful Robert Bradford Quartet for letting us use their original music for our opening and closing music. I gave you just a teaser in the beginning, but you'll hear more of their music at the end. They are wonderful. And any moment now, Alicia Reed is going to be coming into our super steamy and hot studio. Alicia is probably rushing from one of her classes at the Orange County Department on Aging. She is one of their inspiring and energizing fitness instructors there. And Alicia also has her afternoon talk with Alicia show at 3 o'clock. So soon she will be coming in. Alicia, if you are listening to us, take a sweater off or something. It's hot in here and we can't wait to have you here. I do want to say something, a few messages before we go into the show. First of all, we have the fourth annual WCOM Classic Disc Golf Tournament is coming up on Saturday, September 14th. Baron's already given me the thumbs up. It's at the beautiful Pluck Farm in Mebane, North Carolina. Once again, this is an annual event. There'll be divisions for casual and competitive singles starting at 10 a.m. and our very popular team scramble starting at noon. I'm not a disc golf player, so I don't know what a lot of those words mean that I just said, but I'm going to try to go. DJ Jenny Saqua is going to be in the booth featuring LP Hovercraft. Registration is $20 per player, and we're still looking for a few hole sponsors. As our wonderful listeners know, I think you might know, WCOM is going to be moving soon, and moving is expensive. And I really hope our new offices have great air conditioning. We greatly appreciate your support, either at the event or anything. anything you can do. And sort of appropriate, we're talking about charitable giving today. So if any of you are so inspired, WCOM could use some help as we plan for our move. You can check out WCOMFM.org for details to register. All right. Now, before we get into the show, I do want to do another shout out. Today, after this event, I am off to the retirement party for the amazing Beverly Shuford from the Orange County Department on Aging. She has been the communications manager, but more importantly, she is the fairy godmother of the WCOM's connection with the Orange County Department on Aging. She helped to be the founder of our Aging Well Together show. She and the wonderful Janice Tyler brought me in last year to start this show, and really, Beverly, you've been amazing, and I can't believe you're retiring, and I'm so excited to celebrate you and hope Aging Well Together show is just one of the many legacies you leave with your great work at the Orange County Department on Aging. All right, now for me. I am Heather Altman. I have spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 53, as I like to say always, I am focusing on my own changing needs, so I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. All right, Baron, I need to introduce you because I am so excited to have you on the show, and I'm so excited that we were introduced by the great Stilley Brothers of Trustone Wealth Partners. They were on the show a few weeks ago, and then afterwards, Josh reached out and said, you know, you need to get Baron Damon on your show. So I'll do a quick love on you for a moment. Baron Damon is a strategic leader in the nonprofit sector with 20 plus years of experience as an executive of a national nonprofit. Baron is a seasoned entrepreneur, business owner, philanthropist, and a certified professional philanthropic coach through the International Coaching Federation. I am so excited. I did not even know that existed, so I'm so excited. Baron is the author and host of two philanthropic podcasts and has been featured in several magazines, as well as a special guest on TV, radio shows, and podcasts. And now he gets to add the Aging Well Together show to his fabulous CV, which I'm sure is just the highlight of your career. He talks about different topics related to philanthropy, youth development, business, and travel. Baron is the CEO of the BK Damon Foundation, whose mission is to make a difference in the lives of young people and adults through philanthropic acts of kindness. You also heard me say that he is the managing partner of the Business of Life Coaching and Consulting. Anyway, oh my goodness, welcome, Baron.
Hello, Heather. I am so excited about being here. I'm just in this space and looking around. It's very eclectic, but it's so comfortable and welcoming at the same time.
I know. Listeners, you know, only for a few more months can you come visit us at the WCOM station where we are, and it is quirky and fun. I call it the, like, crazy man cave that a few of us have sort of, yeah, it's really It's great in here, and it's great to have you here.
Yeah, yeah. The move is considered, we talk about philanthropy, time, talent, and treasure.
Yes.
Time and talent will take, you know, the move is a part of that. So Okay. That's philanthropy, right?
I love that.
Yeah. So anybody listening today that want to give their time and help with the move, please do that so you can be engaged with some philanthropy
on that
level. How about that?
Thank you so much. I appreciate the shout out. So, all right, we're going to dive all into philanthropy excitement and what is a philanthropic coach. But before we do that, we always have a history here just of asking folks, tell us a little bit about you and where you're from. And I already warned him, I did do a little bit of stalking on you. And so I know you've had a really interesting journey that brought you to your work. And so whatever you feel like sharing with just a few friends live, please do that.
Sure, Heather, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity just to be here and just to share. My journey is like other people's in terms of there's some straight paths and there's some crooked roads and all of those things that get us to a certain place in life. I guess I will start because this is really probably the beginning of my philanthropic journey.
Okay.
Right. When I was in college, I was actually mugged my second semester in college. I was headed back to my dorm and there was a several young men that were going around, and at the time I didn't realize they were going around different campuses and literally just random acts of violence. And I happened to be in the wrong place, I say at the right time. And as a result of that particular incident, it really scarred me mm-hmm. in a way that I didn't realize. Here I am, a freshman in college. You're at a place where you feel like it's going to be safe. You're mm-hmm. just there really to have a good time.
We are 3 minutes away from UNC campus.
Right,
so we
exactly.
have a bunch of students that just started this week, and I hope they feel safe. But I knew a little bit about this from my stalking of you on the website. That's intense.
Yeah, it was very intense for me because I didn't know how to necessarily deal with it
mm-hmm.
From an emotional kind of mental health perspective. I remember going home and my grandmother said to me, don't go back to that school.
Yeah.
And when I did go back, and my parents mm-hmm. being a first generational college student, they didn't have the information that I needed in terms of just withdraw mm-hmm. from school and so it won't hurt you or go against your grades. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
And I ended up having some really bad grades.
Yes.
And I was on an academic scholarship and I lost it. I got kicked out of school and they wouldn't let me back. It just started this
members.
Journey of a downward spiral for me.
And so welcome, Alicia. Alicia, we are normally light and airy on this show. She just walked in and she's like, what is happening?
Hi, Alicia.
Hey, good afternoon. I do listen.
So Baron started at a very young age, just experienced violence and trauma. And then, okay, where does the happy ending come in on this?
Well, the happy ending didn't come to a few years later. I ended up taking a internship at a place called the Columbia Urban League at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the program that I was responsible for, I was the coordinator, guess what it was? Stop the Violence.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Ironic, right?
Well, you can speak to it.
I mean,
it's appropriate. Yeah. I'd say it's powerful.
But for me, it was drudgery. For me, I didn't want to do it. I just needed an opportunity to redeem myself.
Was it just making you relive the trauma every day?
It was, because some of the children were very difficult to deal with. But I knew they needed help and support, and I would not take anything for that experience that I had.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of that summer, which I couldn't wait that it was over, I was so glad. The last day, I was like, this is awesome.
Yes.
I'm so glad it's over. Let me kind of move on with my life. And then I remember thinking to myself, these kids really need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to do that? And then my voice, which is God, said, hey, this is your call. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm calling you to do. And I was like, wow, this?
Yeah.
And I ended up going to Big Brothers Big Sisters, the only job I applied for. And I started understanding at that point what empathy was.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't very empathetic before then.
Okay.
You know, I was a...
Well, also you're younger.
I was younger.
I don't mean to be ageist in a way and say all young people, but that
You don't think about it when you're younger.
Yeah.
Right, as much for sure. And I was an athlete in high school and everything was good. I had great parents, you know, it was just a good kind of upbringing. And that was the first real adversity I faced.
Yes.
And as a result of that, when I started working at Big Brothers Big Sisters, I realized there were a lot of people who had some really challenging and difficult lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I need to. And I started shifting. I started changing how I thought about helping and serving people.
You know, we did a last-minute switcheroo of your introduction because you brought this nice, tight introduction, but I had a much longer introduction. And in it, it talks about you have had quite a journey with Big Brother, Big Sister. You were vice president of, business development, and you did a lot of operations and all kinds of things with them. So that really put you on a path with them, it sounds like.
Yeah, it really did. And it was the greatest experience. I can't imagine my life without Big Brothers, Big Sisters during the time that I had, because I really found who I was as a person. My little brother, I was mentoring, and it was so interesting because I was doing training all the time with potential volunteers. And one of the ladies, she raised her hand. She said, tell me about your little brother. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I didn't. Because I had...
She got you.
She got me. Mm-hmm. And I said a real clever answer. All of these kids are mine.
Good answer. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Diplomatic. I love it.
Very, very diplomatic.
It's like family feud. Good answer.
Kids.
Good answer.
Yeah, that good answer. But I went home that evening and I thought about, why am I not doing it?
Yeah.
You know, am I being a hypocrite? And I started, I went through the process and I became a mentor. And my little brother, Ryan, he taught me a lot about life. I was on the radio show the other day sharing, I took him to Walmart. Yeah, Walmart during the Christmas season, mm-hmm. and the Red Kettle Drive,
sure.
you know, they have. And he said, what's that, Mr. Barron? I said, oh, they raise money, Salvation Army. They do a lot of great things in the community. He said, can I go over there and talk to him? Of course, there was Santa Claus. He was dressed up. Oh. And he said, ask the people what they were doing. They told him. And he said, we're raising money. He said, I want to give my money. Oh. Now, his mom, who was blind, gave him $20 to go shopping with his, for his siblings at Walmart. And so he said, Mr. Barron, I want to give my $20. And I said,
gosh.
Ryan, you
talk
can't give
about
your $20.
Amazing philanthropy.
Exactly.
I mean, that is everything he has.
Everything he has, he was willing to give it. Now me.
Did you stop him?
I didn't stop
him. Right, can I change?
I wanted to stop him.
Can I get a change?
Here's a dime.
Exactly. I'm thinking, like, do you have some
change?
Well,
it's for his siblings also, so it's not just, you know, it wasn't just for him, which would
right.
be so kind. But, okay, so, yeah, what happened? Now
yeah,
I'm all
so he ended up giving his money, and I did take him in the store to buy a few things. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, the Salvation Army reached out to him and said they were having their annual award banquet. And they recognized him
and
as
how,
one of their daughters.
Right, and how old was he? He must
he was 6 years old.
He was 6 years old. I didn't realize he was that young. Oh, what a sweet. And so he got recognized.
He got recognized with all the dignitaries,
always.
The mayor, everybody.
Always
yeah. And in that moment, I learned something about philanthropy, that you can give from what you have. And it wasn't about the amount of money that you have,
mm-hmm.
but your heart mm-hmm. and how you wanted to give it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, and that's so powerful. And it also makes me think of an issue about giving where it's needed and where it's meaningful for you. And also, I want to get back at some point to the issue. We'll kind of pin it up there about recognition.
Yeah.
He gave without any expectation of recognition. He was doing it anonymously.
Wasn't prompted, right.
And then he got the recognition afterwards. All right, so then somewhere along the way, you decided, I'm going to start a bunch of businesses and start a bunch of coaching and also, as part of my coaching, become a philanthropic coach. Like, how did that happen?
Yes, I was at Big Brothers Big Sisters 22 years, I believe it was, in Columbia, South Carolina,
Whoa.
And here. So I was there for a while, as you mentioned, multiple positions, and was able to partner with a lot of companies. I probably created, you know, 200 partnerships while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to create several programs that still exist today. But it was time for me to move on to the next thing. And I was traveling in Portugal in 2022 with the family, and we were having a good time, and this guy reached out to me. He was a financial advisor. And of course, he just found my information on the internet. And I thought it was a kind of hoax. You get all these different emails from people.
Yeah.
You don't know what's real and what's not spam. You just don't.
Right. And now texts. I mean,
know.
My husband could text me. I also be like, this is spam.
Exactly. The number looks a little off. No,
yeah.
That's not him. So he ended up saying, I want you to come on my show, my podcast, and talk about family philanthropy.
Yes.
And how we can get families engaged. Because a lot of times it's just the parents are doing the philanthropy and
yes.
the kids are not engaged. And so I went on his show and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool, you know, talking about philanthropy. Now, information was on my website, but I wasn't practicing philanthropy.
Okay.
Now, I did go around the country. I was a part of an organization called Community Investment Network, and we helped people
yes.
create giving circles
I saw
all around
that.
The
See,
country.
I swapped out intros, and I saw that you were part of this giving network. Okay, sorry,
yeah.
go on.
Which is called Giving Circles, and now, and that was really at the beginning stages of Giving Circles, and now they're mammoth. I mean, and billions
and
billions of dollars.
And what are those? Because I'm looking at the original intro, and you're also on the National Board of Directors of the Community Investment Network.
Yeah.
I mean, I can assume what a giving circle is, but let's not assume here on Aging Well Together. Tell us, what is a giving circle?
A giving circle is something as simple as us three.
I was going to say
deciding
three of us here.
That we want to impact our community the way we want to. Right. Meaning, you know, I like institutionalized philanthropy, the foundations and all of that. Right. But sometimes it could be some red tape.
Yes.
Right. You got to jump through some hoops sometime. Right. But with this giving circle, we would help people form these giving circles around whatever their passions and goals and desires were in their community. Mm-hmm. And for example, I was a part of a group. It was all black men. It was called A Legacy of Tradition. Mm-hmm. And we had about 15 guys, and we would give about $300 every year, $350, and we would pool our money together. And if there was some organization we wanted to support, we would either go do a visit, or we would ask them come in and give us a presentation. And we were like, yeah, we like that. Here, here's a check.
Here you go.
Here you go.
And they had to be, this is, you know, clarifying, they had to be nonprofit organizations as opposed to individual active charities, you know, person and say an individual family, or would you give to families through nonprofits? Because I know tax write-offs, this is where it gets interesting. Do you give $5 to the person on the street, or do you give to a group that,
Yeah, that's a great question, because we did, because our money was being held at a foundation, we had to give it, to them.
To legit nonprofits.
Yeah, to legit nonprofits.
Okay.
Now, we have more, we have a foundation, the BK Damon Foundation, and we have more flexibility. And so we do help individuals that could be in need, or families.
Yes.
Maybe a family got burned out, or we've helped with furniture and all kinds of things.
Because that's the mission of your foundation, is to give individual gifts.
Yeah.
So interesting. And I know that there are groups, there are, I've been invited to some, there are like women's groups coming and helping, you know, organizations. And then I've been a part of charitable giving through my organizations. Clearly, I do a lot in the aging and long-term care space. But okay, so then, so this podcast happened in Portugal, and you started these giving circles. When did you decide to add it as part of your coaching?
Yeah.
And then I want to get all into what a philanthropic, I mean, I can guess, but it makes sense, but what a philanthropic coach is.
When you said that, I was listening, coming in, and I thought, wow, let's define that. I can't wait.
I know.
Because that's another word. We're collecting new words.
Yeah.
New words.
Webster did not tell us these words.
Yeah.
Well, how I got really interested once I did the podcast, and then about a week or two later, he said to me, I want to introduce you to my boss who's retiring.
Hmm.
And he has about $4 to $7 million that he wants to give away.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, do you think you can help him? And I said, I think so. I think so. And he calls me, and we set up a time to talk. And in that moment, I knew that people needed a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be able to create a mission, a vision, and a strategic plan for their giving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I left Big Brothers Big Sisters in August of 22.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've been on the journey to help and support people.
So it's so interesting. When I was in school the second time around about 10 years ago, so I went back to school later on, and one of my classmates in the program worked with, but she didn't use the term philanthropic coach, but she worked with an organization, and she just said, I work with high net wealth individuals and I was like, help them determine their giving. And I didn't realize, and it was big money folks with lots of millions of dollars, and they wanted to be able to not just direct their impact, but also, I mean, she was Kenyan and would fly to Africa to actually watch the money in place. Like, they wanted to develop their own programs, and so there was a whole world. So I started to learn about this, but not much. And so, this issue of philanthropic coach, like, is there a minimum? Like, can anyone use a coach, or is it like, do you have to have like a certain amount of money, and then you're like, yeah, you should probably bring in a professional? Like, we've had financial advisors,
Trustone
recently. Like, when is it time to help?
And that's why I work with financial advisors and estate planners and attorneys, because when a financial advisor reaches out to me, they say, Baron, we don't know the philanthropic side of it. you know, we can give them some advice, but we're not doing research on the nonprofits like you do. Mm-hmm. And so for them, it's a partner kind of relationship because they're handling the financial side of it. Uh-huh. I'm handling the philanthropic side because people want to save money on taxes, basically.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But I tell people all the time that I can work with anyone who's willing to invest something in their philanthropic growth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it could be millionaires, but most of the people are, you know, small donors who want to donate maybe $500 a month or mm-hmm. $1,000. I mean, with us, we gave a $500 scholarship to a young man, and he broke down crying. Like we had just given him
that's
a $50,000 scholarship.
Hey, again, we referencing the kids 5 minutes away, kids. The young adults just a few minutes away. $500, that's your books for the semester.
Exactly.
That's eating maybe
that's
for
right.
the semester. That's
correct.
Two sweatshirts. But
right. In a t-shirt.
I know. You wouldn't see sweatshirts.
A sweatshirt and a pair of sneakers. Well, you know what? You brought up taxes there, and I went back to that story of Ryan at 6.
Uh-huh.
And sweet Ryan was not trying to impact his taxes.
Right.
You know,
right.
And again, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing right. wrong with people being motivated and also and taxes as an incentive. But again, it is interesting what motivates people to yeah. give and how much and where tax write-offs come in. I don't somewhere in there's a question. That's not a question. That's
well,
just a comment. I'm more fascinated.
Because you wonder... You're motivated by the tax,
yeah.
but you want to be a good person.
Right.
You know, so why not have both?
Right. I mean, I like both, you know, personally, but people think I had a mentor, a very wealthy guy, and he said to me one time, he said, my life got much more difficult
yes.
now that I have money.
Oh, sure.
You know, and a lot of times people think just because you have money that you know exactly what to do with it. And the number one, there's two issues that people really have, is what charity to give to mm-hmm. because they don't have a philanthropic why. They don't know who this organization is or we have a reason why. My wife had breast cancer 10 years ago. We celebrate in 10 years, and she's doing fantastic, but we're a part of an organization called Survivor Friendly,
mm-hmm.
and we provide durable medical equipment to breast cancer survivors. We developed a philanthropic why because of our experiences.
Mm. Interesting. And
right?
I saw that, and
yeah.
I wondered what the connection was
yeah.
that you've done a lot. It is interesting as people start to decide where they want to give and how. And a number of years ago, I had the issue, and my husband and I, we try to be good community members, give good donors, and I was noticing that I was meeting everybody else's mission. If you think about it, like you could just give $25 all the time. I mean, there's all these runs and all these, everyone's doing a
exactly.
marathon, everyone's doing a fundraiser. I'm in Aging Alone to walk. And these are all great causes.
Mm-hmm.
But we had this thought where we're giving away what was probably hundreds or thousands of dollars to the other people's causes. And then it affected what we could give. And
right.
we actually had to sit down. I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
We had a family meeting with our two daughters. What do we
I
care
love that.
About as a family?
Yeah.
And so I want to get, and it was this interesting thing that, I don't want to take too much, about how to decide versus just people coming to you.
Right.
Right.
And I'll say what I love about you doing this, you're impartial, you're objective, because the people that I see that mostly do it are the development, and they're, no offense, but they're the development directors
right.
of organizations. So
right.
they will sit down with a potential donor and they say, what are your goals for giving, but clearly, we're going to direct it towards clearly something that we provide. So it's like, how can...
Exactly.
But so there's a... It's not... It's biased.
It's
not...
biased.
Yeah, yeah, where you come in totally objective. Like, you... Right?
Right. I tell nonprofits, because we have what I call an impact collective mm-hmm. that we support. I said, I support nonprofits, but I work for donors.
Yes.
You know, the nonprofit is not necessarily working for the donor.
Right.
They're trying to get the money.
Profit. Yeah.
You know, their donation. And they have to, right? That's a part of their job.
Right.
But when I think about it.
I think they'd be on you so much. Like, oh,
hi.
Darren, make sure that they want to do housing or make sure that they want to.
Well,
feed,
trust me,
sure
I get a lot of that. Nonprofits are starting to reach out to me.
I would think they
because
would.
Because they. know that we're connecting to people that could provide resources.
You're a matchmaker.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you're the
exactly.
Tinder.
Right. You're the Tinder. You're the money.
The philanthropic Tinder. Look, maybe that'll change
and
my
title. There we
go.
No pun intended.
I know. Tinder. There we go. What? Okay. So then you sit down with folks. I know I'm talking a lot because I am so into this topic lately, and because my own family and trying to help make decisions, and of course I bring in my favorite passion projects. I'm like, Dad, yeah. Don't you want to support this? So how do you help people identify? I love this term, the philanthropic why.
Yeah, the philanthropic why. We use this card. It's Ooh. Called Discover Your Philanthropic Why. And it has all these different topic areas that
I
really like.
Listeners, we have Thank something. You.
And so we look at, how about animal related? We have a lot of animal lovers, you know, mm-hmm. in this area.
Nice.
How about disaster prepared relief, food and nutrition, education, law and society, arts, culture, humanity, civil rights,
yes.
environment, health, missions, international development. So whatever
this is a
category.
So listeners are not seeing this, but it is a really cool card that really goes through all those different, and even within those titles, there are subtitles.
Right, exactly.
And then all of these, and then within them,
there's
you
a
know,
why on the back.
And on the back, are you helping with accessibility
right.
or innovation or persistence or peace? Oh, this is
And that's what we do when we sit down with our clients. We help them discover what this is because they may not know, but as that conversation goes on and we talk about some of their history and how do they grow up around money. For example, I was working with a guy and he said he didn't want to give money because his father gave all the money away.
Yes. Okay.
You know, and he was like, when I make some money, I'm not going to give all the money. And now he wants to give it because he realized just making money wasn't sufficient.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And so we have people on the opposite end of the spectrum, too. Of course, they didn't have anything and they want to, you know, to give. And these really help people think through what their potential philanthropic why is. And on the other side, these are values.
Yes.
And we like to help people align their values with their giving. Because at the end of the day, that's what you want to do. For your family, you might identify five of these values and say, these are going to be the things that guide my giving.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
I really like that part.
Yeah. Diversity, courage, honor, humility, love, loyalty, all of these values. What's hard for people like me is that
you want to do it all.
I do.
I knew it.
I want to do it all, and I am, which is why
talk about me. You want to do it all.
Okay. Well, you want to volunteer at every. You give your Alicia volunteers everywhere.
But Heather does everything.
I do a lot, but I will tell
Heather
you.
Does everything.
I get very impassioned very quickly, and if there's a natural disaster, want to do it. I went to the Chamber of Commerce, had an event, and they were doing a silent auction. It just ended the other day for the Rogers Road neighborhood. So I was like, if there's a silent auction for any cause, almost any, but for many causes, I'm like, oh, I'm in.
Yeah.
I love silent auctions. I love
I do too.
To do things, but then. So I can be really intentional, and then there's a hurricane.
Yeah.
I can be really intentional. Now it is political season, and
right.
so many people know that's not a charitable donation, but
yeah.
many folks get impassioned around this time of year
right.
or if there are legislative changes. And so, I mean, I remember years ago in the aging space, there was a huge budget cut and a lot of food programs were
yeah,
cut.
Exactly.
And I remember talking to one of our elected officials, and I said, well, what's going to happen now with all these services that are getting cut? And he's like, the churches are going to need to step up. And
right.
it was like the nonprofit community is going to have to take a role in providing safety net services. So, yeah, for me,
it's in our heart. It's in our soul.
Yeah.
So how do you say, all right, bleeding heart, well, it goes to a question. Is it better to give you know, little bit of money to a lot of places, and that's where we get to the impact. You know, if
yeah.
you have $100 to give, do you give 10 places $10 or do you give $100? Or if you have $100 million, is it better to give $1 million to 100 places or $100 million to one? And that's where I don't know.
Yeah, it really goes down to the strategic impact, right, that you want to make. And I explain to people the difference between charity and philanthropy.
Ooh.
And you use, people use those terms kind of interchangeably.
I do define this. Get our, well, our pens are up, listeners, me and Alicia.
Versus.
So charity is really meeting a need right now, at the moment. It's equivalent to buying a person a fish sandwich. You've heard that additive, right?
No, I am one of those people that give water bottles to, it's just somebody needs something right now.
Yeah, you're meeting a need right now. Mm-hmm.
It's like if
somebody's hungry, mm-hmm. you give them a fish sandwich, they eat for the day, but if you teach them how to fish, they eat for a lifetime.
Yes.
And that's really the difference, because charity focuses on immediate needs.
Okay.
Philanthropy is more strategic planning along the way. And both of them really have, they both are very beneficial and work together, but some people are not ready for the strategic philanthropic side, but they'll do charity all day. My wife and I are very different. My wife, I mean, we take more meals to people than anybody I know, right?
Good meals on wheels.
We are our local Meals on Wheels.
Yeah, you will cook for everybody.
Yes.
I've never caught that. How did I get almost 54 years old and not connect that distinction?
But it's great, because we need both, right? We need people who can give from their heart and give what, you know, people need in those particular moments, and that's great. But strategic philanthropy is looking at really the root causes of things.
Okay.
And how do we go about helping eradicate some of those real issues?
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you help people, you have this whole process where you have them think about what's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
I would also think what's important, in my family, we've done giving in honor of, so my mom passed away a few years ago, so we gave money in honor of her, because things that we thought she would care about and things like that. So as part of that strategic planning, like, who are you honoring in your, or who are you motivated by, your own experiences or experiences you see or your family?
Our first gift was, like you, we sat around the table with my children, and I have two children. And I said, family, let's decide where we're going to give our first gift once we start the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at different options. My son, he's very tender, tender-hearted kind of person. He's very merciful.
Mm-hmm.
And during school, he had this one of his friends who had some kind of disability.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always be with him walking as the kids just flew by him going to the jungle gym and playing.
Yeah.
And he would just patiently, and I would watch him. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And his parents would always come to us and say, your son is amazing that he's taking the time with our son. And as a result of that, after several years, when we sat down around the table, there was a park, and it was called Sassafras. It's in Raleigh, and it's for kids with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our very first donation, and it was based on our son's experience with a young man who has special needs.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
That's
so
good. That's good.
This is the most heart-wrenching, I think, of all of our shows.
Yeah,
like,
this is
my
good.
Gosh.
I know.
Well, and that's, and that's so meaningful. And then how do you just keep deciding to do that? Or with folks, do you say, okay, here's a certain amount of money, and then do you give to different things each year? Because I know, and I've been a grant writer for different organizations, and this question always comes up of sustainability.
Yeah.
So do you like one-time gifts, or is it like if you give every year to the same group, after 4 years they're going to expect it, and then if you go to pull it away, then you're like, I'm pulling the rug out from under them? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, that's a tough one. There was an organization, Band Together, and you may have heard of them. They do incredible work in the Raleigh area, and they've raised millions and millions of dollars for organizations. And 1 year, the gift was pretty substantial for organization. And sometimes the organizations can't handle it.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do in our process when we talk to the CEOs or the fund development people, can you handle a large gift? Because if they can't, it'll end up destroying them later on.
Because they're going to hire a bunch of people that they're going to have
cost.
To let go next year. They don't have the space for it. They don't have the accounting ability.
And they don't take all of that in consideration. We had a large federal
grant. Nobody wants to say no to money. It's
And we had a large federal grant one year, and it just went away. I mean, we had 25, 26 staff. And after that money went away, we had to lay people off.
And then it's like, it's the starfish thing, you know, in the sense of, is it better to not have done it at all? Or, you know, the starfish theory when they're like, you can't help all the starfishes in the ocean.
Right,
you're like, but I helped this one.
Right. Yeah.
Because when you're like, well, for a year, we were able to be really helpful. But then people rely on it. Yeah.
I like impact giving. I was working with a company. And they were doing more impact giving.
You're going to need to define that, by the way. We're already interrupting you.
Yeah, impact giving is where it's money that people donate that's more sustainable over time.
Okay, right? so when you give, it's like a 10-year grant or a
five-year
grant.
It could be, 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I've not seen 10, by the way.
Yeah, there's some strategy around it. And the intention is for that money to have a significant impact on that organization. But this organization decided that they would just give money to a lot of different organizations, and they were supporting maybe 200, and organizations like ours was maybe getting 1,000 or 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're the nonprofit, all money is good, but it's different when you're not getting that much.
Yes.
When you're relying on that kind of consistent giving over time.
Well, and then, again, because I've been both on the giving and the receiving through my work and having to get. And so I would get these grants. And there's also a difference between a gift and a grant. The work that I do, we get grants. And sometimes it's for 1 year, and then we have grant objectives, and we need to do it. And other times it's like, here's a gift. Do what you can. But sometimes people like, that's why people like capital giving. You know, it's funny, in WCOM, right? We're moving to a new studio. Here's a, you know, wink, wink, but like, hey, if anyone wants to give. And so that's a very specific, we need a bunch of new equipment. Here you go. And so it's like some people like to say, hey, I will help build a building, or I will
help buy new equipment.
Yes, or the Sassafras Park. We will do this. And so that is a good one-time gift.
Yep.
And it's not like, okay, we're a staff member is going to be let go after this. So do you also help people decide, like, do they want to do one-time giving that's for a physical thing or for program or, you know?
Yeah, once we help them put together their strategic plan, and all of that is actually a part of that plan, if they want to give monthly or annually or quarterly, however they want to give, and then how much. Mm-hmm. And in their budget. And so we help look at their budget, working with the financial advisor, and they say, hey, you know, we may have $10,000 we want to give away this year, but we only want to do a one-time gift.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when we meet with that organization, because we try to partner and pair them together, where's your greatest need?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right now. It may be a new employee, and that money can be designated to getting a new staff person, even though it may be a part-time basis.
And then they'll work on sustainability from other donors, but at least they can do proof of concept or something.
Right.
Bring someone in, have
it
be good.
Get started, right.
Were you about to say something?
No.
I am. So as you help people, weird questions that are coming in my mind. Have you ever had someone, they're like, I want to do this, and you're like, that's a terrible idea. Or
no.
I can't see you saying that. It's a terrible idea. But have people done things that you're like, I wouldn't have done it that way?
Yeah, because everybody has their own ideals around giving, and a lot of it was not just established. It started earlier in their lives, is really what they saw, their experiences, how they view money, and all of those things you kind of take into account. And when we're meeting with people and we're interviewing them, a lot comes out of those conversations and things that people really hadn't thought about in years and didn't know that they had some challenges and struggles with money and giving. And so all those things, a lot comes out in those. I call them opportunities for people to learn and grow,
mm-hmm.
Because they do find out a lot about themselves.
And do you also talk, because I saw somewhere that you talk with people and it's not just about investments of money. And I think people generally go there, and clearly we're talking about philanthropic and charitable giving. But there's also investments of time and energy and like bringing a meal. I mean, that has a monetary, but, you know, Alicia, you are the quintessential volunteer.
Well,
you give so much time and energy. And so there's also deciding, hey, are there groups that I don't want to just give money. I want to give my time and expertise.
Or living space, donation of a home in honor of.
We've donated cars. Cars, trucks, minivans.
Definitely. That's right.
Yeah. How about turning over this studio to a nonprofit that just want to have a show for the day to raise some money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we tell people that, matter of fact, I was doing a webinar yesterday with this company, and I said, how about offering skills and services? I remember when I was at Big Brothers Big Sisters, I was working with, I think it was Fidelity at the time, and they helped us with our Salesforce transition. And I didn't have any experience with Salesforce, but those volunteers at that company did.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to help
to
us
exchange that.
Yeah, that
commodity.
Exactly.
It's just not the money.
Exactly.
Better than money.
And they gave their time,
right.
But they didn't donate any money to
us. That was a good commodity.
But that's what we needed at the time.
Exactly.
Right? Raising awareness. I love this story. I think it was Becker, who played soccer. I forgot his first name, but.
Yeah, why am I. Okay.
He's a soccer player in...
Not Boris Becker.
But he... Okay. David Becker.
Gosh, Beckham.
And he turned over his millions of account of social media followers over to a nonprofit
for
that day.
Oh, my goodness.
And the guy raised millions of dollars, you know, because all of those... people that was on his social media platforms.
That's a different day of giving profit.
I know. And that would be you came up with an interesting show for WCOM. Every week we could, you know, spotlight a different organization.
Yeah.
That would be sort of fascinating.
Yeah.
You should have that show. We'll talk about that offline.
Yeah.
I will let you know, not every guest, because I want you to feel valued here. Every once in a while we have a guest, and afterwards we're like, you should have your own show on WCOM where you help. All right. So then I want to make sure, because we have a little less than 10 minutes, and I want to make sure all of your wisdom is put forth here, because so much is, what's the first step for folks? I mean, clearly folks are going to, if they don't have the, I mean, does it cost money to bring in a philanthropic coach? I mean, I'm assuming you're not volunteering your time. I mean, this is...
With that question, do you go to large businesses and solicit their employees, you know, to know about what you do in case they're retiring and have that opportunity?
Okay, so clearly we're curious about your business of being a philanthropic coach. So we're getting all up in your business.
my services, I can work with large companies, obviously, but usually they have their own employment engagement people inside.
I see.
Yeah, and usually the small to medium-sized companies may not be there yet. So we provide fractional services.
Hmm.
And if they, like yesterday, the webinar was about corporate social responsibility programs,
mm-hmm.
and they could look very different based on the company, but we would go in and look at their mission and their vision of their company,
mm-hmm.
and then align that with their potential philanthropic giving.
Mm-hmm.
And we take them through the same process as an individual, but we also create a strategic plan for them and what they want to get out of it,
mm-hmm.
and who they want to support. So basically people would say, after that interview, but it might be 5 or 6 different nonprofits they want us to look into. So our team will actually do the research for the nonprofit.
How do you find your, how do they find you?
Oh, that's, how do you find them? And then I'm assuming your research is like online. But how do they know about you?
Yeah,
how do people know about me?
How do they find you?
He's got hustle. He just tells people. He comes on
radio
shows.
You can go on LinkedIn.
To think about, you know, like, okay, I'm a company. I'm like, what can I do with my employees? I mean,
how do they know that you exist, that this service exists for them, as opposed to
they going to a marriage lunch. Ameritrust or any of the other financial companies that are out there?
Yeah, well, I'm really kind of getting out there a lot more doing things like this. I hear that all the time. I'm a very niche coach compared to, I've been a coach for 6 years, and I've done executive coaching and business coaching, life coaching, and all of that.
I'm a life coacher.
You're a life coach? So it wasn't until 2 years ago when I started kind of niching down, and people were like, I've never heard of a philanthropic coach before. A lot of times they're called philanthropic advisors.
Right.
Yeah, I think friend...
they call them advisors.
That was working. I don't know what her title was. She worked for a large investment company.
Right,
and
exactly.
She was like, I'm the person who works with the high net worth folks.
Right. Exactly.
But
just like in a bank, they have
it's a type of financial advisor, I guess.
So you're taking it a step of more, sounds like it's a little more comfortable for the times that we're in now, for people who may not want to deal with the big company or that environment.
Mm-hmm. It's the personalization.
Mm-hmm.
Able to personalize it. It is important for people because philanthropy is important. Giving is personal.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. And people have passed away or some tragedy they've happened, or they want to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's important for them.
On a personal level.
Yeah, on a personal level. And when you go to, and I don't knock the big, the big companies, but I went to one company and I was looking at their philanthropic information, and it was a document over 200 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
that's
who's going to read a document for 200 pages?
That's not personal.
No.
It's like, that's a big annual report.
And then
report.
People start these donor advised funds, and that's very popular, right? A donor advised fund. I have one myself, and they're good. But what happens, people start them, they get the tax break, but unfortunately, they don't give the money away.
Mm.
It just sits there because it's actually growing interest.
Mm.
And a person like me would come and say, obviously, you put money in the donor advised fund because you want to be charitable, but you may not know how to give it away and who to give it away to. And that's where it becomes real personal for us. And we take them through this journey and this process where they really feel like, okay, this is about me.
Well, and so speaking about me, about that process, I love, I'm looking at some of your information, this word legacy.
Yeah.
And you use that in a few different ways. And so if you could talk a little bit about that, living your legacy now, and because that sounds like the connection to your philanthropic why.
Yeah, it really is. When I think about, I started out when I was talking about philanthropy a lot, and I used the word legacy, and people get scared because they think about death, right? And it's like, ooh, what is my legacy going to be? And I said, you know what? We want you to think about death for like a few seconds, and then we want you to open your eyes and think about life, right? And we want you to think about, what can I do right now to establish the legacy later on?
Mm-hmm.
Because people may not even talk about legacy, and then after you pass away, you leave your family some money or something like that.
And they're guessing.
Yeah, because after you're gone, you're gone, right? And people say, okay, he left me some money, but what else, right?
Yeah,
and so living your legacy means you're starting right where you are, and you're intentional about, what do I want my life to look like around my giving, my time, my talent? And as I progress through these years and I get older, we're talking about aging, right? We'll be able to say, this is something that I'm contributing right now. I'm going to pass away. We know that, right?
Yes.
We're all going to die.
But what am I contributing right now that's going to be impactful in my community, in the different things that I do on my job? Matter of fact, my coach, I have a coach. Coaches have coaches,
that's
right?
True.
Love it.
And I asked her, she's working at a company, I said, what is the impact or the legacy you want to leave at that company? And she said, Baron, I hadn't thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're demystifying legacy, right? We want people, wherever you go, to leave a legacy. If you're on this job, after you finish this radio show, you two, you want a legacy to be left as a result of that.
Well, so we have 2 minutes left, and I feel like you just walked into this question, which is, in terms of the work you're doing, what do you want, this feels so cheesy to ask, but what do you want your legacy to be?
I want my legacy to be anyone can feel like they can do philanthropy, right? Mm-hmm. Because I say it's a misconception, and I usually start out saying what philanthropy is, right? Philanthropy, go to Webster, and you'll see, or go Google it, mm-hmm. and it says it's the love of mankind, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? That's what philanthropy is.
I did not know
it's
that.
It's the love of mankind.
That's why I said you brought Webster all into a whole new meaning, you know?
And that's so powerful when you think about it, is, do I love mankind? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you ask yourself the question. Mm-hmm. And once you figure out,
I would say
or come
kind.
To the conclusion,
all kind,
once you figure that out, it's like, man, I can make a contribution. I can contribute to society because I love, I may not know you, I love both of you all. And I just met you because I love mankind.
That is amazing. All right, well, Baron Damon, I cannot thank you enough for coming on. This was a deep show, and I think hopefully we are leaving our legacy here with Aging Well Together, that folks can learn about these topics and hear about us and go to the website and listen to our podcast. But really, Baron Damon, thank you so much. Oh, wait, how will people, which of your many different, if folks want to connect more with you, how should they do that?
Yeah, go to barondamon.com.
Yeah, BarronDamon.
Yeah, thank you for spelling that, because I assume people know how to spell that, and they don't.
Yeah.
BarronDamon.com, LinkedIn, Baron J. Damon, mm-hmm. or BarronJDamon.com. I mean, all the things.
You and I are so about to be LinkedIn friends. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you
gave
you
us a lot to think about, a lot to share. Listeners, I hope this helps inspire you to have conversations with your family and really thought process about what's meaningful and purposeful for you. Thank you, WCOM. Thank you, Orange County Department on Aging. And we are so excited. Next week is September, which means we are kicking off our fall into September. All September shows are going to be about fall prevention, and excited about that. But really, Baron, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I enjoy
talking
with you all.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.